Formula One boss, has been good enough to join me to talk about the big news in F1 today. And it's big Australian news. Well, with Daniel Ricciardo off to McLaren, we think. Welcome to you, Andrew. Great to have you on again.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dwayne. More than think, yeah, he's definitely going to McLaren, which is the English team based in Woking in the English countryside. Very successful team. And it's probably as good a deal as Brisbane's home game deal, according to you.
It might be, and it gives him a chance to actually win. It gives him a chance to be on the top step of the podium repeatedly, because McLaren's been such a dominant force over time.
Oh, they have. They're the second oldest team. There's 12 world championships, and some of the names who have won. Admittedly, it was going back a few years, but you've got James Hunt, Alain Prost, Ayrton Senna. Lewis Hamilton is the most recent world champion with him. It does go back 2008, so we don't want to live on past glories, but they finished fourth in the championship, and they're a very, very good outfit.
And do you think Daniel Ricciardo is the equal of any driver that's driven for them for the last few years? Are we about to see exactly how good a driver he is? And he's got to be a better driver now than he was 3 or 4 years ago anyway.
Yeah, well, I'd be talking it up. I mean, some of the drivers who have driven there recently include Fernando Alonso, who was a two-time world champion. But if you look at the experience, Daniel's the fourth most experienced driver on the grid. He's got 7 wins, and put him in a good car on a great day. We've seen how it was that in the Red Bull days when Sebastian Vettel was winning world championships, Daniel came along and pipped him in the Drivers' Championship points that year. So Daniel knows how to race and win. Get him in a good car and he's going to push for a world championship.
And how good is it going to be for you, the Australian Formula One boss in Australia, to have maybe, and Ben Simmons is up there, we've got a couple on the world stage, but you might have, in your sport, the number one Australian in a world stage sport at your fingertips?
Well, you've got to have a lot in Formula One that goes your way, and that's got to be the car, the team, the dynamics. But I think McLaren's going to give Daniel every opportunity to perform at his best. He's 30 years old, and it would have been nostalgic to see him in a Ferrari, but they put Carlos Sainz in that. But I think Daniel's got a great opportunity to really, win a lot more races and build on that 7 races that he's had in 171 starts.
So do you think, what have you thought about Daniel as a driver? Because obviously you've been his number one fan because you're the Australian Formula One boss, but how does the world see Daniel Ricciardo?
Oh, I think they see him as a level-headed individual who takes his driving very seriously. He's acknowledged as being one of the best overtakers, if not the best overtaker. He sees gaps where there's not necessarily gaps, and he's struggled for a few years to have a car that's given him the opportunity to be at the front. But I guess the best examples you can give is winning at Monaco in 2018, which is his last win, and he would have had 2 there had it not been for a botched pit stop. So you put him on the world stage in the car equal to others, and he'll match them any day of the week.
And as a draw card, we hope you're going to get crowds back for the Australian Formula One next year. It's not a given, but as a draw card, if he's the number one on the world stage, or at least a chance to stand on the podium, it's going to be huge for you as well.
Well, as you talk about draw cards, and one of the things that's got the Formula One journos around the world salivating is that Daniel gives a lot more than some of the Formula One drivers, and his partner is a young English guy called Lando Norris, and between the two of them, they've got a fair sense of humour. So if anyone wants to sort of get on Instagram and get a feel for what Formula One's like these days, you do have to back it up out on the track and the circuit, but when it comes to entertainment and crowd interaction, Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo give more than many, I can tell you that.
And anything else in the F1 or MotoGP world that's happened in the last 48 hours that our fans here in Australia should know about? You're closer to the pulse than anyone.
Well, I think the key thing is that, like a lot of sports around the world, Formula One and MotoGP are both looking to start in a hub sort of isolation environment, certainly without crowds. Formula One is looking to try and do that at the Austrian circuit in Spielberg, which is the home of Red Bull, late July. And MotoGP is looking to do that with hopefully Spanish government approval down in Jerez, which is in the southern part of Spain. And both of them would be have consecutive weeks. And if they can do that and keep it in isolated manners and really sort of limit the numbers and operate the teams in their own bubbles rather than interacting, then they'll get a season up. It might only be 8 to 12 races in both categories, but that's what they're looking to achieve.
And do you ever see a time when Albert Park could be lit, Andrew?
Well, I can see it lit for a few footy games in the amateur footy, but from a Formula One point of view, Dwayne, it suits us perfectly. It always has the twilight slot. Well, it's 4 o'clock. It used to be at 5 o'clock slot, but
yep.
4 o'clock works beautifully because what it gets us is into Asia, which is a growing market for Formula One in the middle of the day. And at the start of the season, it's dawn or maybe slightly before in the UK and Central Europe. And that is still fantastic for us. And, you know, there's a lot of considerations of lighting up a whole park rather than the street circuit like Singapore. So I'll leave Singapore with the night race and we'll have the beauty of Albert Park and St Kilda and the environs of our city.
Yeah, I'm just hearing the V8s talking more and more about having night events as well, and if they could jump on with you guys and put that on the night, on Saturday night, that'd be a huge Saturday night.
It would be. In fact, it was fading light when Scotty Pye won his first race at Albert Park, probably 2 or 3 years ago, and there's no doubt it'd be a spectacle. I think what supercars have done with night racing over in Perth, for instance, is absolutely fantastic. And if they can achieve that in a number of circuit locations, because they generally race on shorter circuits, so the lighting requirements aren't as much. But it's great entertainment, and I hope the supercars season can follow in what's being achieved in AFL and others and get races up for the TV viewing public.
Great to have a chat to you, Andrew. Always good to give our F1 and motor racing fans an update. So I really appreciate you joining me. You're staying fit?
Yes, doing a bit of bike riding, as you know, we both like to do, and a bit of other exercise. So I do want to come out of this fit and going into COVID-19. So there's a lot of work to do, Dwayne, but I'll stick at it.
Get that Lycra on, Andrew. Get it on. Thanks a lot for your time. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, mate. See you.